Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash today. It is Friday, August 3rd. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal right now today to help end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org to get involved today. And if you're a MySpace friend of Normal, well, there's a special promotion happening this week. $15 annual Normal memberships, and it comes with a special Normal publication. Just visit Normal on MySpace. We have links at normalaudiostash.com. We're going to start off our Friday show today by speaking with Alan St. Pierre, Normal's executive director, about that special membership promotion. Also in the show today, former Dallas Cowboy Mark Stepnoski. He served as president of Texas Normal, and he's now on Normal's advisory board. Mark will be emceeing the Austin Freedom Fest 1 week from today. You can get your tickets to Austin's Freedom Fest with Willie Nelson, Asleep at the Wheel, and others right up at austinfreedomfest.com. We have links to that at normalaudiostash.com as well. Also in the program today, Steve Bloom will be here for his celebstoner.com update. Let's get things started with Alan St. Pierre. First up today, there's a big promotion happening on Normal's MySpace page for discounted membership. This promotion is this week for the next 4 days, and it's reaching out again specifically to Normal's official MySpace page friends, of which there are tens of thousands. Folks, for the next few days, you can join Normal and get some special publications from Normal for just $15 for the entire year. Joining us today to talk about this membership promotion is Alan St. Pierre, Normal's executive director. Alan, welcome back here to the program today.
Good day, Chris.
Great to speak with you today, Alan. Thanks again for joining us. Tell us a bit more about this promotion reaching out to our Normal online supporters this month.
Well, absolutely. And why August? Because it is the anniversary of marijuana prohibition, sadly so, August 2nd. So Normal wanted to reach out to its 33,000 friends on MySpace, where we post lots of information, but we haven't really solicited those individuals to really get involved with Normal. And we found out during the 420 event this year that if you drop the price of Normal membership and you offer a fun premium, a lot of people will get involved. Over 700 members joined Normal in just 1 day on 420. So we extended this promotion for 4 days and 20 hours, get it? And with that, we're hoping that MySpace members who are into Normal's network will want to join the organization for $15. That's well off half the annual membership cost, and they can choose one of two of Normal's newest publications, either the Citizen's Guide for Marijuana Laws, or they can get Paul Amentano's edited cannabinoid research book, and both are incredibly valuable for people who are into marijuana and marijuana law reform.
And Alan, a lot of folks are active in politics online. You can email your state representatives and congresspeople and senators. They're all checking their email almost every day. But it's important to put your money where your mouse is as well.
Absolutely. People have to be involved. They can write. They can call. They can meet up with their representatives when they come back to their district, which is usually the best time to catch them at the county fair, at their local office, if you know what I mean. So they can work it on both levels, but they really have to be involved because, as it is in Washington, a group like Normal or an MPP or an ASA, we are just as empowered as our members and stakeholders make us. So this is an event to reach out to our MySpace friends. The amount of people that are joining the site is increasing. We'll probably have up to 40,000 members by mid-September, and this is a great opportunity for these individuals to come into the Normal network proper.
And compared to the presidential candidates out there who are asking for like minimum contributions of $50 online, joining Normal for just $15, this is a real deal on activism.
What a deal. You can get, and we'll send them information. And if I were a MySpace member and I got this solicitation, I would certainly take up the offer, not only for all the reasons we've just talked about, but to get a copy of, for example, Normal's newest publication, The Citizen's Guide to Marijuana Laws. This is a book that no individual who uses marijuana for recreation or medical purposes should be without. The information is found online, but it is all consolidated in a book that one can keep in their glove compartment, for example, or at their home, and they can know instantly what the laws are, whether it's medical, hashish, DUID laws. All this information now is bound in one book.
Righto, Alan. Well, again, folks, just $15 to join Normal today for the entire year. Alan, thanks for joining us here today to talk about this membership drive.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Alan St. Pierre is Normal's executive director. Make sure you join Normal today. You can join up online at normal.org or visit the Normal official MySpace page. We have links to it at normalaudiostash.com.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Next up today, it is a great privilege to welcome our next guest here to Normal's podcast. Joining us today is All-American football player and member of the Super Bowl championship Dallas Cowboys. Now he's a Normal advisory board member. It's Mark Stepnoski. He'll be emceeing the Austin Freedom Fest next week with Willie Nelson, Asleep at the Wheel, Carolyn Wonderland, and others. Mark, welcome here to the Audio Stash today.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be with you.
Mark, it's great to speak with you here today. The Austin Freedom Fest takes place exactly 1 week from today. It's going to be a huge event. You served as president of Texas Normal, and now you're on Normal's advisory board for the National Foundation. Mark, tell us how you originally got involved with Normal.
Well, I became a member of Normal in 1998. You know, I started to support the organization financially at that point. Then I was asked by them to increase my role once I retired from the NFL, and I chose to do so. The gentleman who was the president of the Texas branch of Normal prior to me was a guy named Rick Day, and Rick was getting ready to move away from Texas, and he needed somebody to take his place at the time, which was roughly 2002. So, you know, he asked me to do it since he was leaving, and I agreed to. So that's how I wound up being involved in that respect back about 5 years ago.
And, Mark, what was it like taking over the reins there at Texas Normal?
It was quite a learning experience. You know, one of the reasons I got involved is because politics interests me, not necessarily running for office, but for just trying to be educated and engaged in that area. You know, that's one of the luxuries we are given as citizens of the United States. You know, we are given a chance to participate in the democratic process. So, you know, it's not very often that you get a chance to say your piece or have your message heard. And I felt like I was in a unique position to do that. So it was just something I just tried to take advantage of in order to bring attention to a topic that maybe not many people spend a lot of time thinking about, but a topic which is vitally important to the future of the country nonetheless.
Texas is a politically conservative state, but there are a lot of marijuana smokers down there as well.
Yeah, and I think that's the case nationwide. And Texas does have a reputation for being a conservative state, and rightfully so. But it is exciting that to note that even there, they have recently made some significant changes in their laws regarding cannabis. The entire purpose behind my activity, at least in the state of Texas 4 years ago, was to try and change the law there for punishment for possession of marijuana. Because as most of the listeners know, Texas has one of the highest incarceration rates in America, if not the highest. And there are a lot of prisons there. And at the same time, you know, the country or the state faces a lot of debt. And our whole message, when the Texas legislature was in session, they only meet every other year. So in 2003, you know, we had a full-time lobbyist in Austin who was going around and visiting representatives and their assistants, trying to get a bill introduced in the state Congress that would lower penalties for possession of marijuana, that would give an alternative to incarceration. Because other states, like California, had done that previously. They had something called Proposition 36, which passed, I think, 5 or 6 years ago. And they've experienced great success with that. In addition to other states that have decriminalized marijuana, the possession of marijuana, you know, there have been about 11 states that have done that starting in the 1970s. And all those states experienced success with the policy. None of them have changed that policy back. So that's what we were trying to get done in Texas because of the scope of the prison population. And while we did not succeed in 2003, and while another bill similar to ours came up and was defeated in 2005, this year in 2007, a bill that was almost identical to ours passed. And it was introduced by a Republican named Jerry Madden. And it was signed into law by Governor Rick Perry, who is also a Republican. So I believe starting in September, once this law is signed, people will no longer be immediately arrested and possibly incarcerated for marijuana possession in Texas. So that's a big step forward. And I think that everybody who lives in the state or everybody who's involved in marijuana law reform should be very pleased to hear that.
It is a big step for Texas, which not only has a lot of influence in the Southwest region, but also nationally. So, Mark, having worked on the political efforts there firsthand, it seems like the legislators in Texas, even though they may be considered conservative, there is an understanding that marijuana is not harmful on the level of other substances, and it's just a waste to be locking up people for possession and the like.
Yes, that was the attitude. And the gentleman who by far did the majority of the legwork in this area was my coworker. His name was Howard Wooldridge. And by the way, Howard is also actively involved in a very effective organization called LEAP, which is Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. So that's another drug law reform organization that's getting a lot of good work done currently. But, you know, during Howard's time in Austin as a lobbyist 4 years ago, when he met with politicians or their aides, overwhelmingly, the attitude was, look, we agree with you. We also think that the amount of money and time spent towards prosecuting people for marijuana possession is too much. And that money could be used in better ways elsewhere. But getting those aides or those politicians to actually speak out on that issue or vote in favor of a change was difficult because obviously politicians do not want to be painted as soft on crime. And that's really the one thing I think that gives politicians cold feet in this area, is that they're afraid to somehow convey the message to their constituents that they are soft on crime. But I think that people are knowledgeable enough to make exceptions when it comes to the whole, you know, crime is a big subject and encompasses a lot of areas. And, you know, what it boils down to is, you know, the state decides what a crime even is or isn't depending on what their laws are. So I think that a lot of people, you know, in Texas came to the conclusion that, like I said before, people in other states have come to years ago, and other countries too, for that matter, that placing an increasing amount of funds and police time towards marijuana prohibition is extremely counterproductive. And back in 2003, when we were pushing for a change in this law, I think the state of Texas was $9 billion in debt. I really don't know what it is now. I read different figures, but it's anywhere from $6 to $7 billion. So I understand that, you know, regardless of some of these politicians being afraid of being portrayed as soft on crime, it has reached the point where, you know, the necessity of balancing the state's books takes precedence over looking soft on crime. And I think they realize, again, by seeing the success that other states have had by following this method, that they felt comfortable in doing it too. Because like most other states in America, prisons in Texas are overcrowded, packed to the gills, and they're building more all the time. But I think people are really discovering that it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to have those beds and those cells in those prisons filled up with nonviolent drug offenders. And so fortunately, you know, this year finally, thanks to Jerry Madden's bill and to Rick Perry signing it, you know, they've seen their way past those limitations in Texas and have decided to approach things from a different angle.
Righto, Mark. And the Freedom Fest next week takes place at the Backyard venue there in Austin. And Austin, as a city, really is a unique place with a unique atmosphere in Texas.
I spent a decent amount of time there over the years. Because the state capitol is there and because the University of Texas is there, you know, you have a lot of politicians and a lot of students and faculty there. So it's geographically it's beautiful. It's one of the nicest areas in Texas. There's lots of hills and trees and water. Very nice area. And it's going to be a nice place to have this show. The event is being held at a venue called The Backyard, which I've been to once. It's a beautiful outdoor venue for concerts. It should make for a really nice evening next Friday. We have about five or six acts that are going to perform, so it's a full evening of music. You'll be going straight through from 7 o'clock to 10:30, so people will have a chance to see a lot of performers. And if anybody would like information on the event itself, they can go to the website austinfreedomfest.com. And if they just check that out, they can purchase tickets there if they want, get information on the concert itself, or if they can't attend but they simply want information on how to donate, they can also find that out on that website, austinfreedomfest.com.
And this really is a musical Texas all-star group performing that night. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of fun being on stage there with Willie, Ray Benson, Sleep at the Wheel, Paula Nelson, and all the others.
It should be. You know, the former executive director of Normal is Keith Strop. He has a long-standing friendship with Willie, which kind of precipitated Willie agreeing to perform at this event. The event itself is meant to act as a benefit for three organizations. In addition to Normal, it's for the Marijuana Policy Project and for an organization called WAM, which is the Women's Alliance for Medical Marijuana, which is located in California. And Rob Campia from Marijuana Policy Project will be there. Alan St. Pierre, who is the current executive director of Normal, will be there. And then Valerie Corral, who runs the Women's Alliance for Medical Marijuana in California, will also be there. So in addition to seeing a lot of good acts and hearing a lot of music, you know, people in the crowd who are interested just in any of these reform organizations can hear the leaders of these organizations give brief remarks before and during the show. So hopefully it will be very entertaining and very informative for anyone who decides to attend.
Right on, Mark. I really appreciate you taking time to speak with us here today, and I look forward to seeing you down there on stage at this huge show next Friday.
Same here, Chris. Nice talking with you today.
Mark Stepnoski played for the Dallas Cowboys on two Super Bowl championship teams in the 1990s. He served as president of Texas Normal, and he's now on Normal's advisory board. He'll be emceeing the Austin Freedom Fest next Friday, August 10th. Tickets to that event with Willie Nelson and others are on sale right now at AustinFreedomFest.com. We have links to it at NormalAudioStash.com. Make sure to get your tickets today.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Stay tuned. We've got Steve Bloom with our CelebStoner.com update coming up next.
I want to be famous. I want to wear minks and satins and pearls.
Steve Bloom is the man with his finger on the pulse of celebrity stoners of the planet. You can read about it all at CelebStoner.com. Steve, welcome back to the program today.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Doing great today, Steve, on this super hot Friday. My wife and I are celebrating 8 years of wedded bliss today, actually, so looking forward to a dinner out in Philly tonight. Steve, this week represented 70 years of marijuana prohibition by the federal government, but August 1st was another important date. It would have been Jerry Garcia's 65th birthday this week. And there were a lot of remembrances for Jerry this week, including at CelebStoner.com.
Yeah, well, Jerry would have turned 65 on Wednesday, and he passed away on August 9th, 1995. All deadheads will remember that day, sadly. So it's been 12 years since Jerry died, and so it was, you know, since CelebStoner has only been, you know, on the web since December, it was our sort of first opportunity to pay tribute to Jerry, and on the site, you know, we have top celeb stoners who get voted by the polls, and then periodically I've been adding celeb stoner legends, and the first one was Bob Marley, and I think it was around his birthday, and now the second one, you know, of Jerry, and, you know, just to remind people of, you know, what a, you know, fabulous, you know, guitar player and leader of the Grateful Dead that Jerry was, and, you know, how pretty much he and, you know, those guys single-handedly created the whole jam band movement. And it had started, you know, gradually in the early 90s as bands were, you know, catching on to what the Dead were doing. I mean, obviously Fish caught on, you know, in the mid-80s, and by late 80s, you know, they started to percolate as, you know, one of the big road bands, you know, for a lot of, you know, fans to just hop aboard and, you know, go traveling around like they would with the Grateful Dead. But it took, you know, it seemed to take Jerry's death to really open up the jam band world because, you know, now there was no Dead to follow anymore. Now you kind of had to do it yourself. And so it kind of forced the fans to go looking elsewhere. And it, you know, and the bands were ready. A lot of the bands were ready there, String Cheese Incident and Widespread Panic. They'd have all been playing for years. But then there was a whole, you know, new wave of bands that came up, you know, Modesky, Martin Wood, and Galactic, and all those types of groups. And, you know, not that all of them were influenced by the Dead, but I think a lot of them were, especially the ones that played, you know, more Grateful Dead-style music like String Cheese Incident, and, of course, Fish. And so, you know, there would be, you know, there would be a lot less, I think, music out there today if it wasn't for the Dead and how they influenced so many of these younger bands. And, you know, Jerry as a performer, I mean, he, you know, was, I mean, the, you know, Deadheads, you know, pick their favorites. And, you know, I would probably, if you ever polled deadheads, you know, you probably 75% of them would say Jerry was their favorite, not to put anybody else down. But Jerry was, you know, perceived as the leader and the founder, and he was, you know, a co-founder, you know, with Phil Lesh and Mickey Hart and Bob Weir. They all came together in the early 60s in California, the Bay Area, and created the band. But Jerry was perceived as the real leader and kind of the figurehead. He was, you know, kind of unusual in his thought process of what he, you know, would say to people and how he would say it. He was kind of a prankster. He was, you know, sort of part of the Merry Pranksters. You know, in the early days when before the Dead really were well known, they played the Trips festivals and, you know, those very psychedelic, you know, heady days going back to the Summer of Love of 1967 when the Dead would just, you know, play these shows out in Golden Gate Park for nothing. And, you know, it was just sort of another time, obviously, than it is today. But they were there then. And, you know, what we're doing today has a lot to do with what they created then. So, you know, I think none of the, you know, the listeners, you know, probably need this sort of lecture on Jerry Garcia. Everybody knows how great Jerry was, what a great player he was. You know, you would stop in your tracks, you know, while Jerry would take a solo. You know, kind of like the other great guitar solo, you know, guitarists of the era and of today. But, you know, you would stop and just pay specific attention to what Jerry was doing. He played in a style that I thought was very unusual. Maybe it had to do with, you know, missing a middle finger on his right hand. But he had a very different style, and he kind of mixed bluegrass picking with jazz flavors and psychedelia, and he kind of created his own very unique playing style that nobody has ever really been able to repeat. And, you know, you can maybe come along and repeat a little bit of the Dead's formula, but nobody seems to. Maybe Steve Kimmock, you know, and a few other guys like that can really play Jerry's style, but and probably some of the guys who, you know, play along with Phil Lesh and friends and with Rat Dog and Bob Weir, and they can kind of imitate Jerry a little bit. But, you know, he really was a one of a kind. And so, sadly, you know, Jerry died. He had drug problems over the years. He had, unfortunately, you know, during that time, you know, he was a pot smoker, but he also kind of did it all. You know, certainly, you know, his share of LSD, and he got into heroin, you know, in the 80s, late 70s and the 80s, and it turned into a problem for him. And, you know, Jerry died in a rehab facility in 1995, and he, you know, was not well. And, you know, he didn't die of an overdose, but he just died of, you know, not being well and having heart problems, you know, that stemmed from his drug use. And also his, you know, eating issues, you know, he sort of was a junk food eater and stuff like that. And it kind of comes with being on the road, you know, guys who travel for so long, especially the Dead who lived on the road. So, you know, just a great man. Never met him, but I wish I had. But, you know, I can sort of, you know, live through, you know, just the memories of, you know, the great music that the Grateful Dead provided.
Also, Steve, you're covering the L.A. medical marijuana dispensary raids. They carried up to Berkeley, California, with the Berkeley Patients Group. We spoke with Dale Gerringer about all of that activity in Berkeley this week. But you've got some photos of those raids in Los Angeles posted up at celebstoner.com.
Yeah, well, you know, just so people understand, I mean, Celeb Stoner may seem like it's just about celebrities, you know, and drugs and stuff, but it's really a marijuana news website, you know, mostly, really. And so I feel like, you know, the goal of the site is to really be on the marijuana issue as best as possible. And oftentimes I find, you know, the stories are lacking out there when it comes to, you know, finding out what's really going on when something like the DEA raids, you know, happened last week. And, it took a couple of days to really pin down, you know, how we knew that there were 10 shops raided, but nobody quite knew which ones. Now, I had heard that the California Patients Group was one of them. And then, thanks to Dale, I was able to get the whole list together and put it up on my website on Celeb Stoner. And it's really the only place on the web where you could actually see, you know, where were the 10 stores. Because the AP story that went out and the LA Times story, they, you know, one of them referred to the California Patients Group, but they didn't refer to any other of the shops, which is, you know, where it's sort of lacking in their news reporting. You know, if you're going to say 10 shops are raided, tell us which ones. But as it was, one of them was the California Patients Group that is run by the same people who run the Berkeley Patients Group, which was their first shop that they had. They have three, another in the L.A. area, the L.A. Patients and Caregivers Group, the California Patients Group, which both of them are on Santa Monica Boulevard in California, where there's kind of almost a ghetto of these dispensaries up and down Santa Monica Boulevard. And it's,
luckily, for all the years that that Debbie Goldsberry and her friends and everybody had been running the Berkeley Patients Group, you know, they had never been targeted, and I was almost surprised because so many of the, you know, of the dispensaries have been over the years, and finally they hit them in L.A. And then this week, after last week's raid, the Fed seized their assets up in Berkeley. So you know, they're really they're having some problems right now due to all this, and they had told me that they were going to close the California Patients Group, you know, store in L.A. and just concentrate on the two that they already have. But that's before they went after the Berkeley Patients Group. Now, Berkeley is very much in support of the Berkeley's Patients Group, and they've already worked out their plans on how many, you know, dispensaries that there can be in the Bay Area. That's, you know, all these problems that are happening in L.A. first happened in San Francisco when the beginning of the boom of the dispensaries started up there, and now it's moved down to, you know, all over the state, but it's really, really picked up in L.A. to the point where, you know, it seems like they're trying to shake it down, you know, make, you know, reduce the number so there can't be quite as many, you know, up and down a block, and that's probably what's going to happen in L.A., even though the L.A. City Council favors the dispensaries, but they're probably going to be forced by the feds to kind of, like, cut it down a little bit like they've done in the Bay Area. So right now, you know, like one of the original, you know, dispensaries, the Berkeley Patients Group, and, you know, now the California Patients Group is really under attack by the federal government. And Dale, Geringer and Debbie Goldsberry have both stated that they believe that's happening because, that they are, homes for activism, you know, among medical patients. That, you know, I've been to the California Patient Group, I've been to the Berkeley Patient Group. They're kind of like clinics, you know, where you can come and hang out, communicate, go to a class, you know, just chill with your, you know, your fellow medical patients, you know, share some ideas, read some books. You're not asked to leave, you're kind of hang out. Whereas, you know, a lot of the other ones, like, come in, buy, leave. They don't really want a scene. And, you know, Debbie and all the, you know, the people up in that, you know, her, all her people who've been running Berkeley Patients Group for all these years, BPG, you know, they really encourage people to create a community. And I think that's why they're under attack right now, because I think they're perceived as not just your average shop. And they're not. And they're, you know, better than most. And so hopefully, I know they've been rallying, in Berkeley. I know that the, Berkeley, representatives are supporting them, but right now, you know, I don't know, they've seized their assets, so I don't know quite that what that means. I don't know if they had a raid that straight in went in and took down the store. I don't think that happened, but I think they went after their bank account, you know, and other resources. So that's as much as I know about it right now. We'll keep focusing on it at Celeb Stoner.
Righto, Steve. Unfortunately, we are out of time today. I encourage folks to visit CelebStoner.com and get the latest updates on the Celebrity Stoner happenings and marijuana news. We have links to CelebStoner.com right up on our website at NormalAudioStash.com. Steve, thank you again for joining us here this Friday.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
Steve Bloom has his finger on the pulse of celebrity stoners of the planet. Make sure to read about it all at CelebStoner.com. He joins us every Friday right here on the Audio Stash.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
We're going to round out our Audio Stash today with some music from the exceptional talent of Carolyn Wonderland. She's a great friend of the marijuana law reform movement. You can see her on stage live next week in Austin, Texas, the backyard at the Austin Freedom Fest. Again, tickets for the Austin Freedom Fest available online. We have links to them at normalaudiostash.com. Here's Carolyn Wonderland with a song from her upcoming album. This track is called Misunderstood. We have links to Carolyn's website on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. You can also link up directly at carolynwonderland.com.
Tears. I got pain and misery. just a matter of being misunderstood. Yeah, yeah. Well, I said that, don't worry, Lord. Just a matter of being misunderstood.
That was the spectacular sound of Carolyn Wonderland. You can find her online at carolynwonderland.com. That song was called Misunderstood. It's off her upcoming unreleased album. You can see Carolyn live on stage at the Austin Freedom Fest next week, August 10th, in Austin, Texas. We have links to get tickets to that show at normalaudiostash.com. Many thanks to Dan at Bismo Productions and Carolyn herself for giving us permission to play Misunderstood here on the podcast today. Next week on the Audio Stash, we're going to have lots of music from the artists who will be on stage at the Austin Freedom Fest. We'll also have an interview with Ray Benson from Asleep at the Wheel. Ray is a legend of the music industry and a great friend of this movement. Also, we're going to have an interview with Carolyn Wonderland herself here on the Audio Stash next week. We're going to have music from Asleep at the Wheel, Carolyn, also Megan Tubb. They're all going to be on stage at Austin Freedom Fest. Make sure to get your tickets today at AustinFreedomFest.com. Everyone, have a great Friday night and a wonderful weekend. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. You listen to the Audio Stash, vote for us at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. Everyone have a fun summer weekend out there, and we're back at 4:20 on Monday. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.